The FAA lights up ADS-B over the Gulf of Mexico. Do fewer daily operations mean you don't need as long a runway? And Embraer beats its 2009 delivery prediction. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 14th, 2010. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt announced on Tuesday that Houston air traffic controllers are beginning to use ADS-B to more efficiently and safely separate and manage aircraft over the Gulf of Mexico. Quote, "This is a significant early step toward NextGen. We're delivering on time a system that's not only more accurate than radar, but comes with significant safety and efficiency benefits. This will save time and money for aircraft operators and passengers and reduce our carbon footprint," unquote. The Gulf of Mexico has not had the benefit of radar coverage. Before ADS-B, controllers had to rely on an aircraft's estimated or reported position. Individual helicopters flying IFR at low altitudes to and from oil platforms were isolated within 20 by 20 mile boxes for separation. The complex manual tasks involved are not efficient. Commercial aircraft flying at high altitudes were kept as much as 120 miles apart to ensure safety. Controllers now can safely reduce the separation between ADS-B-equipped aircraft to 5 nautical miles, significantly improving efficiency. The opening of more direct routes over the Gulf of Mexico also saves fuel. The Venice, Florida City Council has been trying to find a solution to the problem of 24 homes in a golf driving range located in what should be a runway safety zone. The Sarasota Herald Tribune reports the council proposed to the FAA that its airport be downgraded for a shorter runway based on its low number of operations. The FAA responded with a letter turning down the idea, apparently needing to explain that fewer operations at an airport doesn't somehow magically allow planes to land in shorter distances. The letter also points out the houses have been in the safety zone for more than 40 years, and the development of that type in airport safety zones is not unusual. Bart Vernacci, assistant manager for the FAA's district office in Orlando, said the agency had to take into account the critical aircraft at the airport, as well as the needs of all airport users and tenants. He did tell the city, quote, "We are open to considering other alternatives you may have," unquote. Year-end numbers are still coming out, and officials at Embraer are celebrating a decent 2009. The company delivered 91 jets to the airline, executive, and defense markets during the fourth quarter, bringing total deliveries for the year to 244. That beats the company's estimate of 242 and still leaves a firm order backlog totaling $16.6 billion as of December 31st. Fourth quarter highlights included delivery of the first Phenom 300 light executive jet, which was certified in December by Brazil and the U.S. Up next on ANN, Flight Design partners with Pilot Journey. Sling work with the AS-355 may just have gotten a little more secure. And Bell 430 operators get a new option for tough environments. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 14th. I'm Paul Plack. The leading light sport aircraft seller in the U.S., Flight Design, has teamed up with Pilot Journey, a website for people seeking flight training. The idea is to bring people into Flight Design's pilot centers on one hand and provide quick fulfillment of the dream for website visitors on the other. Both parties seem happy with the arrangement. John Gilmore, National Sales Manager for Flight Design USA, notes, quote, "When prospective students search, they use the internet. Pilot Journey generates more than 30,000 unique visitors each month to use a variety of resources to help them select a great school, unquote. Gary Bradshaw, founder of Pilot Journey, adds, quote, "Flight Design has a large number of aircraft flying in the United States. We'll be able to send prospective pilot leads to Flight Design pilot centers within minutes of a visitor inquiry at Pilot Journey," unquote. Bradshaw is also giving prospective students who buy a Discovery flight certificate free electronic copies of the Airplane Flying Handbook and the Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. Participating flight schools provide a 40-minute familiarization flight to prospective students who show up with those certificates. Onboard Systems International says its new replacement cargo hook for the Eurocopter AS-355 has been certified by the FAA and is currently in production. Onboard has also applied for Canadian and European approval. The new hook boasts an innovative Talon keeperless cargo hook. The keeperless design eliminates the possibility of losing a load that inadvertently gets past the keeper by replacing the keeper with a load beam system that stays open after the load is jettisoned. Onboard says the design can safely handle a wide variety of load ring sizes and styles and offers many other safety and maintenance benefits. Aerospace Filtration Systems has received an STC for an IBF system as an inlet barrier filter for the Bell 430 helicopter. AFS worked in partnership with a large offshore energy exploration operator who assisted in the flight test development program to achieve the certification. Robert Stenberg, Business Development Director for AFS, explained the application. Quote, "Operators worldwide have contacted us requesting assistance in improving engine protection. Our Bell 430 system can help reduce the likelihood of engine damage from foreign object debris, salt spray corrosion, and other contaminants, offering a better solution than currently available," unquote. The IBF system includes a sealed plenum for each engine intake, with integral filter elements that replace the inlet screens or internal particle separator, a unique intake bypass system, and an integral filter maintenance aid that allows on-condition inspections between established cleaning intervals. AFS says the new filter will reduce operating costs, enhance performance, and expand operational capabilities. Still ahead, it's time to plan the 68th anniversary of the Doolittle Raiders. The U.S. officially gets its 8th spaceport. And it's official, the $1,000 hamburger is here. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 14th. I'm Paul Plack. We won't be writing this story for too many more years, but it sure is inspiring while we can. It's thought that 7 of the 8 surviving Doolittle Raiders, those guys who flew the carrier-launched B-25s to bomb Tokyo after Pearl Harbor, may be on hand for their 68th reunion at the National Museum of the United States Air Force in Dayton, Ohio, April 15th through the 19th. Also there will be as many as 25 B-25 Mitchell bombers flying in from parts of the U.S. and Canada, and U.S. Air Force officials right up to the Secretary and Chief of Staff. Plans and logistics are in place for the tribute, and the museum is trying to raise $200,000 to help the owners of the B-25s with their fuel bills. Find more detail and a link to the museum in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. America has another new spaceport, and Florida has its first space facility approved for horizontal launches. The FAA has issued a launch site operator's license to the Jacksonville Airport Authority for the Navy's former master jet base at Cecil Field, making it the nation's 8th commercial spaceport. The license follows an environmental review. The 12,500-foot main runway is the third longest in Florida, and the proximity to the Atlantic coast will allow routing flights over the ocean. Airport Authority Board Chair Deborah Pass-Durham remarked, quote, "Cecil Field has come a long way in the past 10 years. This property, which was once a naval air station, continues to be reused and redeveloped in innovative ways. We're hopeful this commercial spaceport license will help take Cecil Field to the next level in attracting new business, especially within the space industry, unquote. Cecil Field has struggled financially since being turned over to the city by the Navy in the 90s. It's been marketed recently as Cecil Commerce Center, highlighting its multimodal transportation access. And finally today, are you ready for the $1,000 hamburger? If you're not, then do your homework before you pick a landing spot. There are lots of places in Minnesota where people land planes on ice in the wintertime. But two guys who chose to do it Monday within the Minneapolis city limits on Lake Calhoun found local police waiting for them when they returned to their Aranca Champs. WCCO-TV reports the two were prevented from taking off until FAA officials were called in to check their planes and pilot qualifications and complete a look-see. Michael Doherty and Hans Meyer were charged with misdemeanors and fined $1,000 each by the city. A third person who'd been a passenger in one of the planes was not charged. There's been no suggestion the pair will face FAA action. All concerned agreed it appeared to be a legitimate misunderstanding. The Flyers had landed specifically to eat at Burger Jones near the park, so they were literally $1,000 hamburgers. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, a look back at ANN's first 10 years, part 4, the politics of the NASA shuttle program and the collapse of the airline experience. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.